I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Who let the
dog? You ruined it.
Oh, you did.
I didn't ruin
you
it.
You coughed.
That was me.
No,
that
you and you
we
and
all
you are the
it.
Three guys that
and
I
you pressed
want
the button too early.
Up yours.
You haven't even got the keys.
There's no need to stop that there.
Yeah,
no.
You ruined it.
You ruined that yourself there, out of arrogance and pride.
And being a dickhead.
Right, are we ready now? Fish.
Yeah.
I love how petulant you go. Yeah, I've been ready for ages.
I have been, yeah.
Who let the dogs out, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Spurs are in disarray, and Roy Hodgson's back. It's Friday 31st of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Division Hunter Roger.
And I'm Eddie Brussels.
It's that time again where we celebrate Friday, everybody. Oh, yes. Can you feel it, Vish? Can you feel it?
I can, yeah.
Good.
Always with the Baja men, though.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Someone's still flying the flag over there.
When you say always.
Yeah, it's just they pop up probably too much, actually.
Do you think?
Do you think the current cool younger generation are aware of the Baja men's work?
I doubt it.
Because I wouldn't want to point them in their direction either.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
They do pop up a lot. It's no Groovers in the Heart. I have a theory that you're never more than 1,000 songs away from hearing Groovers in the Heart.
1,000, that's good.
Thousand,
no, just like in the wild.
I think that's too much.
Overhearing it. You think it's too much?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's a great song. It's a great song, Jim. Mm.
Maybe we'll play that when I open the gate to the weekend later.
Maybe.
Are you tolerating so much chat at the beginning without mentioning Pitbull? Because you know what?
Pitbull's everyone, at the end, Andy. You've got that wrong.
Come on. Everyone's on Speller Island and everyone wants this because did you see, you know, Issy, the midfielder of Rayo Vallecano? Really terrific
can't
midfielder.
Miss him. Can't miss him.
Really terrific midfielder. One of the best, if not the
best. Why doesn't he play in the Prem then?
Exactly.
Uncapped Spanish midfielder.
Mm.
You'll be taking this back in a minute.
Oh,
he turned up for training looking like, because he's a bold gentleman,
yes,
looking like he was dressed as Pitbull the other day.
My
so
goodness.
Your influence is spreading far and wide.
I appreciate that. Andy, one thing you're looking forward to this weekend, presumably, is to see more of that at Rayo Vallecano.
Well, that, but also I'm looking forward to seeing Chelsea fail to score against Aston Villa in the late game on Saturday, because Romelu Lukaku, who I shall be seeing in the flesh on Saturday night when it goes into Fiorentina, is absolutely on fire at the moment. As I was saying on OTC yesterday, he had a brilliant international break. Mm-hmm. Inter aren't going to keep him, and Chelsea really need a striker.
Well, so you think he could turn out for Chelsea this weekend? What's your point, sorry?
Well, I think the question is next season. So when Chelsea don't score again this weekend,
and that's,
I think we're going to get to a point where sane people, rather than just me, start talking about, hang on, what about Lukaku?
So you're looking forward to Chelsea not scoring this weekend?
To stoke the debate a little more.
I see. So you've made a prediction there.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, all right. Jim, what about you?
I am looking forward to two banks of four at Selhurst Park. It's Roy Hodgson returning yet again.
I love that.
We thought we'd seen the last of him, but it wasn't even the second last of him.
How much are you looking forward to it,
Jim? Fish, what about you? What are you looking forward to this weekend?
I am looking forward to those buried in the sacred graves under the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, coming up through the earth and thinking, you know what, this place is fucked.
Is that right?
Moving on. Yeah, it's been quite an absurd week. And the fact that they're not playing at home is a benefit, but also just... I don't know. Basically, anything could happen in that part of London now.
Right, okay.
It's been that kind of week.
It's been chaos.
Okay, so let's move on to Spurs then, as you've given an odd thing that you're looking forward to this week, and you want to see the undead at the Tottenham Hotspur
Stadium. Look, I'll finish The Last of Us. I just want more of them in my life.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Spurs, of course, are, one could say, in an embarrassing situation. Their managing director, Fabio Paratici, has had his 30-month ban from footballing affairs in Italy extended to football worldwide. Paratici was given a ban from Italian football in January after his former club Juventus were found guilty of false accounting. The news, of course, announced on Wednesday morning, just gone straight after Paratici had fronted a club statement on Tuesday night giving an update on club affairs following Conte's departure. So, yes, Spurs then released the statement on Wednesday morning saying that we should like to make it clear that when Fabio conducted the interview on club channels yesterday, neither he nor the club had any indication of this decision being made by FIFA.
They didn't have any indication of the seismic events that were going on at Juventus, which were kind of flagged to the general public in November, when the entire bloody board, including Andrea Agnelli, resigned. In November!
We knew about this. Yeah. And they seem absolutely blindsided by it, which is fascinating.
I mean, the only thing you could say...
Are we a Premier League board? Is that what we're saying?
I think we could be.
We could be a Premier League football club
board.
People
that can read.
The club... The only thing... I think Jack Pickbrook was saying this in an article. The only thing that they could say is that he's appealed this ban... And so maybe they were waiting on the appeal and so on. But it does seem a rather silly and embarrassing situation, Vish.
Yeah, just because of, in news times, the idea that statement is released, you know, on the evening of Wednesday, I think, and then Thursday morning, basically, essentially side by side occurrences here in terms of that, you know, if you look internally at that news cycle that FIFA, you know, announces ban is made. And the idea that they had no clue... actually is a bit of a damning indictment on Spurs' hierarchy, because if you think of football teams across the world, there are people who are employed, covertly or otherwise. I don't mean covertly in like a sneaky sense, more that like, by the way, if you're talking to someone at FIFA, try and gauge information of what's going on here. Mm. You know, they have those at all, you know, whether it's UEFA or FIFA, they always have some kind of insider track. And evidently Spurs didn't, I don't know, either don't have it, they probably do have it, but they didn't tap into it.
They can't not know. This is just head in the sand direction at its worst.
But then how did that initial, you know, meeting over the job in the first place take place? Daniel Levy's sitting across from him thinking, this thing here about this investigation that's going on, that's not, nah, nothing to worry about.
Yeah,
no,
be
no,
all right.
No. I'd look at the gap in the CV if I were you. I wouldn't focus on that at all.
Under strengths, you've put winning decisions of an appeal.
The thing is,
okay, that's good enough for us.
Under weaknesses, you put accounts.
Yeah. Strengths, appealing. Yeah, you are appealing. Yeah, I agree, you are appealing. Let's say no more about it.
It's a mad old situation, especially the criticism Spurs have been facing or been getting recently with all the Antonio Conte business people now saying, oh, should they have appointed him? And so I don't know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but Levy himself has come in for a lot. And this happens. I mean, it's never a good time for this, of course, but this is a guy, Andy, who's been pretty much, like, as we saw, you know, he was the one who, as I said, fronted up a club statement. It's like he's... the face of the club right now, and this has happened. And as I say, it's never a good time for something like this. But you could say it couldn't have come at a worse time because the boot has been stuck into Spurs a lot recently, and then this, and the fans must be going, "Oh bloody hell, what is going on?"
Yeah, I mean, Paratici has got a degree of power because he was able to bring Conte. That was a huge part of it. Without Paratici, they don't get Conte. So that gave him credit to work. Ability to work without really having Levy getting involved too much. But things have evolved so much since then, and not just because of the Juventus decision, but even if you're dragging your heels over it, even if you're hoping there's going to be an appeal, as you say, that they haven't talked about, or hoping it blows over, which is not gonna, or whatever, surely Conte going is the point where you say, okay, we need to appoint...
That's your chance.
We need to appoint... Yeah, exactly. We need to make a clean break. And also, we need to appoint a coach. I mean, for example, when we were talking about Spurs being interested in Julian Nagelsmann straight away, how do you get him in this situation? Like, you have no chance of getting him in this situation.
This might work in their favour, though, because when it comes to the summer and Harry Kane's trying to leave, they'll just be saying to Charlie Kane, there's no one to sell him, Charlie. Yeah. We can't. He has to say, we can't sell him.
It's a masterstroke.
Also, who are you kidding? How do we track Nagelsmann to North London? Balenciaga pop-up. Easy.
What, sorry?
Not a problem.
Say that again.
Just a bespoke fashion brand. You know, tell them, oh, you know, come over here. You know, we've got a pop-up in North London.
Yeah.
The thing you mentioned about Paratici and his, you know, his primary strength in that negotiation with Levy was attracting someone like Conte, or specifically bringing Conte in. Do you think he's standing by him now? Because obviously Levy will hope the appeal goes Paratici's way.
Mm.
But do you think Levy's also thinking, if we lose him, we also leave our crack at getting the right replacement for Conte?
But I think the whole problem is, I don't know if Spurs fans feel like this, but I think the whole problem is when you get Paratici to get Conte, you're attracting the wrong sort of manager. The last couple of managers, and we're going to forget Nuno for a second, when they brought in Mourinho and Conte, they're the wrong sorts of managers for Spurs. They're Levy servicing his ego. There is, rather than the coach we need, it's the coach we can get and the coach we couldn't get 5 years ago. Look at us in our blingy stadium and look at us with our superstar coaches. Never mind that they don't fit.
Without sounding churlish, or perhaps it is, that the situation at Spurs is exacerbated a bit by how well things are going at Arsenal this season.
No. I think it compounds it, definitely.
Okay.
And I think if you're a Spurs fan, you're probably thinking they've got their shit together and we don't, in a quite dramatic way.
Yeah, I think it's a separate bad thing, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. This is speaking to fundamental issues at the club that you can probably track, you know, over the last decade, perhaps even longer, in terms of the way Levy has operated. It's really, someone made a really interesting point on Twitter that I saw yesterday, and it wasn't necessarily directed at a specific instance with Levy and a manager, but it is interesting that Levy has shown more loyalty to Paratici than he has any manager that he's initially really, really gone for, really hitched his wagon to, and then coldly bin them off, essentially. At a time, and certainly in a situation where surely the only decision to be made here, as it was a week ago with Conte, is to cut ties with Paratici.
Okay, so you said, yeah, no, I get that. But you said about leaving the way he's kind of gone about his business in the last decade. Well, interesting article in the Times either today or yesterday that was saying that, is it that bad at Tottenham? They're saying in the last decade, Spurs have had an average finishing position of 4.5, if you will, in the Premier League.
considering how much money, you know, Manchester City being the obvious team, Chelsea the other one, have splashed about, how good Liverpool have been in recent times and so on. Like, obviously, the situation with Paratici is bad, right? No getting away from that. That is ridiculous. In the wider context of Spurs, Andy, do you think it is that bad?
You know what? I think it's the process rather than the end result. And the process is important. I know that's a cliche, but I think a lot of this at the moment is Spurs fans watching dreadful football by coaches who think they're too good for the club. Mm-hmm. Whilst paying the highest prices in the Premier League,
so post Pochettino,
I think that is a huge deal, and post this new stadium, which is a lovely stadium and a lovely experience, but it needs the football to fit it. I think that's a huge problem in terms of where Spurs are historically. I think that's a separate point, because if you go back to like the first dozen years of the Premier League, mm-hmm. where they never finish above seventh until you get Martignol in charge. Okay, that's different. They've moved on from there. But I think it is...
Do you think it's the fact that they've moved on, you can't say, oh, well, but 12 years ago, this is where we were. It's kind of like, but you're not there anymore.
Yeah,
irrelevant. It's like me pointing to you and being like, oh, you forget, don't you? You know, you had four legs crawling out of the sea, not too long ago. It's like totally irrelevant to the conversation now. It is. Football's moved on so much. And even that stat about 4.5 is such a misnomer, given the difference between finishing fourth and finishing fifth right now. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I think the challenge for Spurs was to get into this conversation, wasn't it? And to be in this upper echelon of the Premier League. Because I don't think that stat about them finishing no higher than seventh before Yo is irrelevant. Because traditionally, they've been a team that win a cup about once every 10 years. They now want to be a team that gets into the Champions League and have managed that. Their aim is they want a title push, don't they? A real title push. That is really, really difficult. Mm. But the platform they're building for it, all right, it's shaky now. That's the point of all this, isn't it? It's the point of having the new stadium. Mm-hmm. It's I think, you know, the fact they've got to the point where they have got that average Premier League position is a sign of progress.
I'm not saying them and Arsenal are the same, but they are in their post-blingy new stadium teething difficulty, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But by the way, we should say, going back to the main issue around Tottenham at the moment, Paratici still hasn't been sacked.
Yeah.
He's still there.
So, well, if you're not going to sack him after that, you're not sacking him on Friday.
You called him Mr. Worldwide or the Worldwide Band. Would he soon be...
No, I said if clearly wasn't Mr. Worldwide. Yeah. Mr. Local? I don't know.
Yeah?
Something like that.
Mr. Looking Out His Window.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Conte has left the club. We do know that for certain.
We're definitely sure about that.
We are very, very sure.
You can see that massive black cloud isn't over North London anymore, is it? It's gone.
Because Spurs playing on Monday night.
Sorry, Middlesex.
Yeah, Spurs playing on Monday night against Everton. But Conte sacking by Spurs means that 9 managers have now been sacked directly after playing Southampton, quite oddly. Only Liverpool have caused more manager sackings. Huh. I'm drawn to the fixture list on Sunday, Andy. Southampton play West Ham.
Also, how many times have Southampton played themselves in the last year?
Quite a few times. Maybe they've padded those. Yeah.
I think Moyes is safe.
He is safe.
Whatever happens.
He's not going to be having any of that, of course. Safe as houses.
I think he could take them sailing into the Championship and still not get sacked until the summer.
Yeah. We're going on a camping trip for a whole season. Indeed. Gentlemen, Crystal Palace have got their new man at the helm.
The new old man.
It's Roy Hodgson, baby. The Hodge is back. They swooped for him. An eagle and an owl together makes perfect sense, you know. Or does it?
One stays, one goes. Is that? I don't know.
They both love mice, presumably.
It feels potentially quite dangerous for the owl.
Well, one takes care of business in the day. One takes care of business at night.
Like
all bases covered. You see, it makes sense in the end. Leicester City. Or the Foxes, of course, are in need of points. So Hodgson admitted in his pre-match press conference that he never felt old enough to retire. He's firmly in his 70s now. Hodgson, already the Premier League's oldest manager, he said, "I know my birth certificate tells me I'm old enough to retire, but the way I feel doesn't tell me that. I had accepted that I had retired because that is what everyone has been saying."
They all need to tell him that they're staying up.
Well, so basically, when he left the job at Watford, or his time at Watford came to an end, he actually never officially retired. It's kind of what he's saying.
No, but he did do a lap of honour at Selhurst Park after minutes after Watford
got relegated.
Mm,
yeah.
I think that is worth repeating. I mean, that's incredible when you look back at it, isn't it?
It was pretty poor. I mean, I know he loves Palace and obviously the game was at Sellers really Park, but you can't be doing that.
Imagine if you're in the away end, you've watched your team get relegated and the manager is being, your manager is being cheered by the team that's just turned you over.
And he's not going to be there in the championship. Yeah. He's firmly...
And he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
He's joining in.
Well, yeah, I mean...
It's so disrespectful.
He said
he let himself down that day.
Yeah, he did, absolutely. But when he said he enjoyed it, he did say something like, you know, that kind of experience getting relegated, but even as an old person, it still scars you.
I think
saying even as an old person, Roy.
I think the Watford thing is really important because we've got such a Hodgson Palace familiarity. I think everyone assumes, okay, they've gone for the nuclear option and now they're just going to stay up. Mm. There's quite a lot of assumption in that. Have we forgotten how bloody terrible he was at Watford? Like, really, really bad. We're just assuming because he knows Palace, he's going to go back in there. Everything's going to be as it was before, and they're going to finish 14th. I think there's a massive amount of assumption.
They've got a lot of games with the teams around them, though, haven't they?
Yeah, but Palace's main problem, and I've heard a lot of Palace fans say this, is it Patrick Vieira's fault that our strikers can't put the ball in the back of the net?
No, but they're not shooting.
Is Hodgson going to fix that?
Exactly.
Because that's not what I'm bringing him in to fix.
They're not even trying to score goals, Andy. That has to do with Vieira somewhat. Do you know what I mean? Like Wilfried Zaha in the past, you wouldn't say...
Okay, so whatever
he's Vieira's, not shy of having a pop at goal, is what, he?
Whatever Vieira's faults are as a coach, and, you know, it's gone similarly to how it went at Nice, in that he started very promisingly and then it went down quite badly. Mm. Do we think that bringing in Hodgson is going to help them play more positive football?
No, I
think it will because of how bad it was under Vieira. Generally speaking, no. Specifically speaking, yes.
I don't know. I'm not convinced he'll have all that much difference, to be honest. Because
they'll get a Europa League spot.
Yeah. Can we clip that?
Conference League is
Can we clip that?
I just said they'll get a Europa League spot.
You don't know who's going to hit
It'll be about Manchester United.
So he'll go. People say he's going to go in there and organise them. Vieira's issue wasn't organisation.
Exactly.
It was, you know, as Andy's alluded to there, it's a lack of coherence up top, which again, Hodgson's not known for. And it's certainly never been his strength in particular. But I would say they're not going to get relegated because three other teams will do the job for them.
Absolutely. That's all you got.
Do we know that, though? I mean, I think, again, it's tempting to say, there's a bit too much traffic between them and the bottom three.
No, I don't think we are. I think
is there?
And clearly Palace are not thinking that at all, hence they've done this.
Yeah.
If Palace were thinking, you know what, other teams will be crapper than us.
The thing is, because of the amount of money involved in the Premier League at this point, you have to panic before it's panicking time.
Yeah, indeed. But with Vieira, we've talked about them sleepwalking the way to relegation. They're 3 points above the relegation zone? So clearly they've done this. I mean, Hodgson said the call came out of the blue. He was surprised himself. I think if you are going to change it round, then Hodgson has worked with a lot of these players, and I know the whole he knows the club. Now, he wasn't there as a player; he was there as a manager not that long ago.
Yeah.
So I can understand why the Palace board are doing this, and I think, reading between the lines and what people are suggesting, is the reason why they sacked Vieira is because Hodgson agreed to do it. That was their plan. Now, of course, the plan is up for scrutiny, Andy. You know, that's the name of the game. And we shall see. But I don't think it's hugely inspiring, but I don't think it's terrible.
Yeah, they've also got 10 games left, which is, you know, not far off a quarter of a season.
Yeah.
There's more football left than people were sort of
that's very
behaving
true.
As if there is.
But I think with that in mind, I think you think Palace with Hodgson and Leicester with the quality they've got, they'll both be fine. Mm. There's the temptation to think that. I can guarantee you the fans of those two clubs are not feeling that at the moment. I don't think it's beyond the pale that one of these goes at the end of the season.
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, there's no... you can have players like, you know, Maddison and Vardy and all the rest of you want. You don't get the wins, you're going to go down, quite simply. But, you know... Just on balance, I think that, you know, the one really actually you're looking at thinking, they'll be fine, and they clearly are not fine, is West Ham, who are in 18th, of course.
I think Leeds are fine.
Do you?
Yeah, I think Leeds will be comfortably.
It changes.
Safe.
It changes.
Can you stop saying that teams that are not fine are fine?
Yeah. I mean, 2 points off the relegation zone.
This Arsenal season has you as an optimist, and I don't like it.
No, it means they're so far away.
No, it means
away,
that,
just
we're playing
care.
Them in the weekend and worried about them.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
To me, they look like world beaters right now.
You know, you were saying about Palace playing teams around them now. Actually, because so many teams are involved, they're all playing teams around them.
That's right.
Between now and the end of the season, like a considerable number of games, to the extent that by Thursday, we'll have found out, actually, if Nottingham Forest to save.
Yeah.
So Forest have got Wolves this weekend. They then have, they've got Wolves this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then they follow up in midweek with, I think it's...
They're away to Leeds United away on to Tuesday. Leeds,
yeah. So, two defeats and, you know, a team that maybe a month ago I was like, you know what, they're totally fine. They've turned over a new leaf. They're not just back in it, but they're fighting against it.
Cool. So they're all in there. From Palace down, you have that is the amount of teams in the relegation battle. There is zero two ways about that. And it'll be intriguing to see how it all pans out. I mean... You know, as I say, I think Palace will survive, but I don't think it's going to be an easy run. I don't think, don't worry, lads, in three or four games' time, you can all put your feet up. Absolutely not. It's an absolutely intriguing relegation
run. It's so tight. I mean, we could see someone go down on goal difference, you know, if this pattern continues.
Ooh, I mean, do you? Yeah, I realise it's sadistic to say that, but that is intriguing, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. Well, the reason why it's Palace down is because Aston Villa under Emery have just done so well. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of clear blue water between them and Palace in between 11th and 12th. Of course, they're playing Chelsea on the weekend. Before we go to a break, James, you see, speaking of Chelsea, Kai Havertz has been speaking this week about why some of his Chelsea teammates call him Donkey.
Mm.
He said, "It's not because of my football. From day one, I felt a very special relationship with donkeys. It's a very calm animal. Maybe I personalise myself in them." Because I'm calm too.
I love it.
What timing.
Yeah. He also said they chill all day, don't do much, just want to live their lives. Can I interest you in a capybara, sir? that is the animal for Kai Havertz. He's going to lose his mind when he sees a capybara.
It's an intriguing quote. They're very calm, but they do pop up with a winning goal in a Champions League final. Because the donkeys pop up anywhere, don't they, of course.
Do they?
No, I'm thinking of goats. Time for a break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's Amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Fayez never complained about the referees and the action, but this action is really incredible. Incredible.
Right, everybody. Visha just taught me the difference between goats and donkeys. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Righto. Manchester City versus Liverpool gets us underway on Saturday at 12:30. A huge game in the title race.
of course, only for Manchester City. Last season, this was the big one, Andy. Not anymore.
Yeah, but it's important to Liverpool in a different way. And not
I don't want to do the fixture down, by the way.
Not in a let's upset Manchester City because we've been going tooth and nail for the last four seasons.
They need
to get in the top four. Maybe this is a Jude Bellingham derby. Because if Liverpool finish top four, they're not getting him. Obviously, Dortmund.
No, if Liverpool finish in the top four, they do get him, is what you're thinking.
Yeah, if Liverpool don't finish in the top four, yes, they won't get him.
Right.
Perhaps. I mean, obviously, there's the extra thing that like Dortmund are trying to keep him for an extra year. I tend to think that's a little bit of a long shot, even if they are offering him a lot of money, etc. But, of course, Manchester City are more and more interested in him as well because Real Madrid don't have bottomless buckets of cash.
Mm.
So
have you told them that?
Despite the Mbappe savings.
Yeah, okay. Well, yes. Arsenal, of course, went 8 points clear before the international break, but Man City have a game in hand. So there's a chance for Manchester City to put pressure on Arsenal before they play at 3 p.m.
Mm.
Jim, you'll be watching this very keenly, won't you?
I will be watching it very keenly, yeah. I think it's very interesting from a Liverpool point of view as well, because obviously, as Andy says, it's so crucial for them to get into that top four. And this is essentially a sort of a test of what shape they're in when it comes to the task at hand, isn't it? Because this is the hardest fixture in the Premier League by some distance. And they have got it's essentially a mission now, isn't it, in front of them. It's a very, very difficult task, but they thrive under that pressure. We've spoken a lot recently about how they pulled it out of the fire a couple of seasons ago with Alisson scoring a header in that running.
Alisson scoring past Edison.
I imagine.
That would be lovely.
Could it happen again? That would be great, yeah.
Or the other way around, I'm not fussing.
It would be an equalising goal, not a winning goal
this
time around. Let us be clear. If it's like 0-0.
Oh, dream big.
Yeah.
Dream big.
You get a point. He's not sending him up, is he? Imagine.
They're on for a respectable point at the end. Yeah. Had. Get him up
get
there.
Get up there! Actually, the reverse is more likely.
Yeah.
At this stage, if City are drawing and they get a corner, Edison, send him up.
And you know what? You'd fancy Edison with the free header, wouldn't you? Or even if it drops to him. Very good with
actually, their feet. Because of
Edison on the edge of the box.
Not at the edge of the box.
Volley.
Edison taking the corner.
Ooh,
that would be somewhat reckless, manageable.
You know what? I used to play FIFA like that all the time when it let you set your goalkeepers to take the corners, and it rarely came back to bite me in the arse. So I did it all
is
the
that
time.
Right?
Yeah,
I can't think of a more reckless thing a manager could do.
Yeah,
remember David James up front? You know, the stadium's got form for
that.
It,
was so no, no, wacky no, no, though, that wasn't it? As a keeper though, was it?
Yeah, that's my point. I reckon.
No,
I
we're saying a reckon it would be reckless.
No,
to put,
I reckon bring on a reserve goalkeeper and stick one of them up the pitch.
Oh, I don't know. I think none of this will happen, but I hope it does. I hope all of it happens.
Yeah. I think the thing that there's been a lot of talk about Erling Haaland potentially missing the game as well, but the thing that makes City such a sort of daunting juggernaut is that they've got Julian Alvarez. And if they decide not to use Julian Alvarez, they've got an absolute plethora of false nines that they can play in that position. They're insulated from any absences, aren't they?
I know you can't.
The club are built to be prepared for essentially everything.
I know you can't allow yourself to think about this for obvious reasons, Jim. But I think this might be the pivotal game in the title race because I think City might not win it because I think the big difference between them and Arsenal this season is the fact that Arsenal have been, well, relentless. That's why they are where they are. I don't really feel that same thing with Manchester City. I feel that they could play quite well and not win the game. Rather than, I don't think they can play badly and pick up the points anyway with their intrinsic quality, which they should be able to do with their intrinsic quality.
I don't know, but they did manage a tough situation against Palace where it looked like they might not get something. I know there's a penalty there, but you've got to be attacking to get it.
There's not been enough of them games for City, I would say.
They're very good at going on these runs though, aren't they? Where they do start to become relentless, and that's the sort of thing that's
so you'd be worried that this almost...
We've got a little look into Jim Campbell's terrified mind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're 8 points and an apology clear, but it's never going to seem enough.
Well, of course, Liverpool beat Manchester City earlier in the season during our Patreon watch-along.
Do it again, please.
What, another Patreon watch-along for this game?
If that's what it takes, yeah.
It's a good idea. All right, well, we'll cobble something together. There is better news for Liverpool with regards to their injuries and whatnot, because they've had quite a lot this year so far. Luis Diaz has returned to training following his long absence. I mean,
they've really missed him. I know the whole thing at Liverpool has just not been as it has been in previous seasons, and one player can't, you know, mask all of that. But Diaz coming back would be a massive boost for them.
I mean, he's been great for them. And the thing is, he's such a setter of attacking pace,
yeah,
which they've really needed for a lot of this season. I think the interesting thing is, as he's getting ready to come back, it's the point at which Hakpo has really started to thrive in his position.
Yeah.
Now, I've thought for a while that long-term, they might play Hakpo in a more central register, and that might be the way that they do it, to fit Luis Diaz back
and
in.
And Nunes, but they're gonna, one side, if, yeah, when Salah...
Yeah, you know, the thing is, they're going to eventually evolve from... It's always one of these difficult things. I mean, it's kind of like with the Australian cricket team of 2005. When you've got a like beloved team or a really successful team, at some point, you have to start moving on from them. And they've started to go there because, you know, Mane has moved on. You suspect Jordan Henderson will be next, and there will be a few midfield changes going into next season. But we're seeing the start of that for Liverpool, aren't we?
What about little links to Mason Mount?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Would you?
I think that would be really, really interesting.
Yeah, you mentioned Jude Bellingham. I mean, Mason Mount is being linked with a couple of different sides, and Liverpool's one of them.
When we were talking about this amongst ourselves, I know, Jim, you were saying, and Vish, you were saying, it would be quite exciting to see Mason Mount at Bayern, because, of course, he's been linked since Thomas Tuchel's gone there. For me, I think the best thing for Mason Mount would be to go to Liverpool rather than to Bayern. I think he'd play more regularly. I think he'd start more regularly. I think he'd be a more key part of the team. And he's something I feel that they specifically need at the moment. Whereas for Bayern, he would be a nice to have. I think he would be something that would change Liverpool quite positively.
Interesting. Speaking of things that are nice to have, Jack Grealish has opened up about his love of Chinese food. This is just, it's every week he's coming out with crackers, isn't he?
Beautiful.
He said, "I love Chinese, man. After every game, I get one. I have Singapore chow mein. I have egg fried rice. I have salt and pepper chips. Classic Chinese. I have salt and pepper prawns and then curry sauce. And then I just mix it all in and have a big free for all."
Free Good for man. You, Jack. Creating a one-man buffet there. I love it. Absolutely
Sounds
love
good,
it.
Sounds good, to be fair.
It does. It does.
Where are the salt and chili ribs? Where are the salt and chili ribs?
So salt and pepper squid should be an addition, Jack, if you're listening. Prawn toast, a must.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Very good.
It does remind me, though, of...
The prawn toast you wouldn't mix in, though. You'd have maybe a starter.
No.
Mop it all up afterwards.
Yes.
Like it's a fry-up.
Fine. You'd bookend it with that, yeah. I'm saying. I'm not sure it would work with that big mix.
You could concoct some kind of reckless bruschetta by putting it all on the prawn toast.
A reckless bruschetta?
Yeah.
What a that is, thing.
That sounds like a kind of MC's name, doesn't it?
but this did remind me of when there was an England squad meet-up for whatever international break it was at the start of 2021. Declan Rice and Ben Chilwell did this thing together where I think they were just like rating foods.
Was it Ben Chilwell?
I think it was Ben Chilwell, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely Declan Rice.
Oh, because there was a great moment where they were talking about jollof rice, and Declan Rice mentioned that when he was at Chelsea and Eddie Nketiah was at Chelsea and Nketiah used to bring it in, he was like, it was amazing, you know, like sharing like packed lunches. And then later on, or maybe earlier on in the video, Ben Chilwell admits that at the age of 25, he'd never had a Chinese before.
Wow.
Huh.
Which is absurd behaviour.
Quite surprising, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be a lie. Why would you lie about it? It's ridiculous. I mean, I hope, Ben, you've rectified that.
Yeah, we know a man who's going to, you know,
I was about to say,
sell it to him.
All in one bowl.
No. Mix it all together. All together.
Very good, very good. Well, gentlemen, on Sunday at 4:30, Newcastle United host Manchester United. Big game in the race for the top four. Newcastle United, of course, we're going to third place, Andy, if they win that game.
It's remarkable, isn't it? I mean, it's remarkable if you look at the squad they've got compared to Spurs and Manchester United.
Because people have said, oh, but they've got all the money and so on. They've not splashed it around that much. I know making this point, but I think it's because it's quite... noticeable. They've bought very well.
Yeah, they've bought a few... very expensive, very good players. Obviously,
and an entirely new defence.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, But partly, I mean, they're getting like you look at what Eddie Howe's getting out of Fabian Scher.
Yeah,
yeah. Who's very much an old Newcastle player.
Even Big Dan Byrne. I know he is one of those ones who they've signed.
He's not a superstar, is he?
No, he's not.
But
no.
he's still come in. Trippier as well.
Okay, your point stands. Yeah,
players they wouldn't have got otherwise. I know sometimes they argue that all right, Dan Byrne should have been accessible, et cetera. But they've made a lot of signings.
The only reason why they wouldn't have got them before is because Ashley would have refused to spend the money that
horrible,
they already
horrible slug
but the
sat
money
on the club.
Indeed, yes. The sort of Jabba the Hutt figure. But they had the money, as Pete. Mm.
Jabba the Hutt was quite spendthrift. Did you see his bow pie?
Jabba the Hutt had a bow party?
Yeah, in Return of the Jedi. Well, it's more a sand barge party, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not floating on water. It's not a boat, Andy.
No, probably not.
It's clearly flying.
It's his equivalent of a yacht.
Right, you've disgraced yourself there.
He's surrounded by women as well.
Are they women? There's one woman, Princess Leia, but they're all sort of different creatures, aren't they?
Yeah.
And have you seen this?
And he kidnapped her in Star Wars because she was going to make out with her brother. That's the... He was helping her.
All right, Malcolm Tucker, something like that. Anyway, if I may...
As a wee pedal bin.
if I may, Mike Ashley, Jabba... Yeah, so they had the money. Pete often says this, like, this could have been achieved. The point is that the money that they've spent, and they have spent, Jim, you're absolutely right to say that, it's not been as extravagant and as ridiculous. It's been way more measured. But again, we are going over.
It's been intelligently spent.
And on paper, it's nowhere near a top four squad, by the way.
And again, Howe takes an enormous
amount
of credit.
Absolutely. The idea of Newcastle going into third makes me fear the future in the same way that AI does. Yeah. how are they this good, this quickly?
By the way, the only reason why they would go into third, of course, depending on the result here. So if they were to win by a single goal, the reason why they would go into third is because of that 7-0 loss, by the way, on goal difference.
Can we go back to talking about Newcastle spending all the money? Quite funny as a Manchester United fan to be sitting here while people discuss spending money wisely.
Yeah, well, we could hark back to the Newcastle 5, Manchester United 0. Could we see a repeat of that?
Where's that come from?
From the 90s.
The famous Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there we are, you see.
There is a lot for United to be worried about here, actually.
Well, who do you fancy for the game then, Vish? Because, I mean, it's Manchester United obviously won the cup final. They won when it mattered, you could argue. But this one does matter an awful lot.
I think what they need to control, and I love that this is a Sunday 4:30 p.m. kickoff because the atmosphere, you know, you're basically going to give everyone, you know, 48 hours leading into it. Not to be silly, but just to get up for it. I think the atmosphere is going to be incredible at St. James's Park. And I think that will be its own unique challenge. I think Manchester United might actually not benefit, but I suppose play a little better when teams come at them and they're a bit more open. Not in the way that Liverpool did, that was excessive. But
great to watch, though, for me.
But if there is a moment where they're going to go toe-to-toe, they can hold their own. The issue being that without Casemiro in the middle, they need someone else to be the governor, really.
Scott McTominay, based on...
else to be the governor, really.
Big Fred could...
It's back in it. That'll be it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think the interesting thing going into that point, leaning into what Jim was saying before, like Newcastle are really good defensively.
I think
that's the issue. But what I think they've done really well.
Yeah, but what about when they're pressed by someone who's as big as a tree?
Yeah,
you consider that?
I think
Jolenton will just come in and help.
Yeah. what they've done so well since the cup final, as you were saying, Marcus, is that that could have been the effective end of their season.
Yes.
And it would have been very easy, I think, from there to finish their seventh or eighth. And who knows? They might still, because there are better teams than them in the mix.
They struggled a little bit post-cup final.
That they picked themselves up.
Yeah.
The results they've got in the last couple of weeks, I wasn't expecting. It shows, I think, a lot more guts in that squad than I was expecting.
Indeed. And you're right. The last two matches, two wins.
Yeah.
They had to pick it up, and they have.
Absolutely. And I think we've already touched on how good they are defensively when they're at their best. And if they stick to their game, stick to what they're good at, and their forward players are decisive and focused, then I think this is winnable for Newcastle.
Well, yeah, they thought that about the cup final. But we shall see.
Did they?
Yeah.
I think they thought they were just going to have a good time that weekend.
Okay, that's a bad attitude.
I think the players thought they were going
to
win.
Yeah, we need to make a clear distinction there.
Kieran, take this all in. I played it last year.
What are you talking about? I'm England's second best right back. Chaps, I want to end our sort of a preview section of the show, if you like, with... Well, this is not a preview, it's more of a review, I suppose. Sir Alex Ferguson became the first manager inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame alongside Arsene Wenger. Mm. Isn't that lovely?
Is it?
Wenger...
Halls of Fame interesting?
Yeah, well, Wenger said, "To share this with Sir Alex is a great honour for me. It's like two boxers. You fight like mad and go the distance together. It'll be a great opportunity to meet with him, share a good bottle of wine and memories of our old battles."
I mean, that's an olive branch in itself, isn't it? Because I think Ferguson said that like pretty much every manager will share a bottle of wine with you after a game, or at least have a glass or whatever, and Wenger didn't. And it's interesting that he's brought that in.
I think that is the fascinating thing. Not the Hall of Fame bit, as Jim was saying.
Boring.
But the... Yeah.
Rock and roll Hall of Fame, boring, who cares?
Well, quite. But I think the relationship between these two is just fascinating, because I remember when we did a ramble meets with Wenger, and he was just so open about the fact, oh, I really miss that. I really miss the rivalry. I really miss the shit we used to give each other, the way we really used to get into it. I mean, I've said before that Arsenal-United rivalry is the best rivalry in the Premier League. When we're talking about Manchester City versus Liverpool earlier, it's not the fact that Liverpool aren't competing for it. Even when they're two of the best teams that the Premier League has ever seen, it is not a rivalry to compare with that Arsenal-United rivalry.
Yeah.
The other thing about this is, Wenger mentioning boxers there. The thing they say about boxers, and I suppose you can apply this to those two as well, the only person who knows what you've been through and knows what you're going through is the bloke you're staring at.
Yeah.
On the other side of the room. And that's exactly how it was during that rivalry.
Yeah.
He also said, you fight like mad and go the distance together. Ferguson went a lot further than him, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
It's a bit harsh. I think
Is it harsh?
He was talking about when they were actually, rivals at the top.
Also, Wenger had to build a stadium and then manage
Not himself.
That is impressive, to be fair.
Have you seen his book? He's ripped for a man of his
exactly
age.
Exactly, he is. According to his book, he built it brick by brick by himself.
That'll be another statue, him carrying a hod. That's the Emirates.
Right, it's now time for Betfair's popular bet builder. Select from the most popular pre-made football bet builders using Betfair's handy app, and you can add them to your bet slip in just one tap. Every Friday on the preview show, we build our own ramble popular bet builder for a particular game happening each weekend. Today, we're looking ahead to a huge game, the aforementioned Newcastle United versus Manchester United on Sunday. Jim, over to you.
I think Antony is going to have two or more shots, possibly cutting in from the right, shooting on his left, but I'll take any of them.
Yeah.
What, inspired by Miguel Almiron, presumably?
Yeah. Possibly. Vish?
Because he's had a very good week, I am going to go with Scott McTominay to commit two or more fouls. I mentioned before the Casemiro thing, his absence. McTominay is absolutely the type of person who will be up for this game and perhaps lose his head at multiple points during it, so commit two or more fouls. And I generally think the first one will be in the first 5 minutes.
So a goal scoring McTominay means back in club football he's going to be a little
He's kicking
reckless.
Balls, now he's going to get back to keen shins.
There you go. Okay, Andy, your choice.
Alexander Isak to score or assist. He is in great form at the moment, I think. They sing gimme, gimme, gimme a striker from Sweden for a reason.
I see. I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals. We know Newcastle's defence is very stingy, so I think there's not going to be too many scored. So we've got Antony to have two or more shots, Scott McTominay to commit two or more fouls, Alexander Isak to score or assist, and under 2.5 goals. A £5 bet with Betfair on that popular bet builder returns £95.90, and if we win all that money, we'll go to Prostate Cancer UK. We'll be back with another round of Betfair's popular bet builder on the preview show next week, exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved, and for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Righto, it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, we do though, Jack. It's time for Jack's Encyclopedia, everybody. It's a simple game of categories. I'll give you all a category, and all you have to do is give me an answer that fits into that category. Like Rodri against Scotland. I'm not going to accept any time wasting though. So if you're going to go too slow, I'll play Gary Neville's Orgasm, which will leave you 7 whole seconds.
You're already talking very quickly. It's putting me on edge.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the time pressure.
Okay, Jimmy.
I haven't even started yet.
Andy is the lineal champion. Well done, Andy. you must be really pleased with yourself.
Yeah, it means a lot coming from you.
The true champion. Jim. There
Jim,
is a
Jim. He's like Paul Ince giving himself nicknames.
Yeah, maybe.
Should we go, Jim? Should we? Yeah, we should. Yeah.
There's a belt on
we'll
the line.
We'll leave you two to it.
Let's get him afterwards.
who are you getting?
You find out.
Oh, I see. Well, you're getting no favours, Vish. No. Jim. There's a belt on the line. The lineal belt is on the line.
Yes.
Okay. Just to stoke those competitive
it's
fires.
It's a pathetic game, isn't it? Pathetic format as well.
Right. Here is your first category. Crystal Palace managers since the year 2000 includes caretakers. There's 24 of the buggers. Okay.
24?
There is. Jim, you are up first. Fire away.
Roy Hodgson.
Alan Pardew.
Tony Pulis.
Sam Allardyce.
Neil Warnock.
Ian Holloway.
Patrick Vieira.
Frank de Boer.
Good start, this, lads.
Frank de Boer.
Oh, already been said, Andy.
Get him.
It's not so get pathetic him. Now, the game,
no.
Is it now?
Andy. No, he's not fine. Do
Andy,
it.
Andy, you're giving up. Get off.
Jim Campbell!
Oh, shit, sorry.
Right, you. That's a warning. All right, Andy.
How long has he had now?
Well, you, because of you, long time. Andy, your answer, please.
Ooh.
You mug. Come on, Andy.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Harder than you think.
Andy is out. It's between Jim and Vish this round. Jim.
Steve Coppell.
Yeah, he started in 99 but left in 2000, so you're absolutely right.
Ooh. Mm. Dougie Friedman.
Like that.
Mm. Ian Dowie.
Very well played.
Ooh, this is where I come unstuck.
Don't make me press the button.
Feels like button time to me.
It's Torres! Oh, it's
have a guess!
Chris Hughton. Didn't believe it when I said it.
Just in case you didn't hear that. Jim wins the round. You could have had Steve Bruce.
Of course.
Terry Bullivant. Apparently that's a guy. George Burley. Curtis Fleming. Trevor Francis. Paul Hart. Steve Kember. Lenny Lawrence. Paddy McCarthy. Keith Millen.
Paddy
Alan
McCarthy.
Smith. Kit Simmons. Peter Taylor. They were all acceptable answers that you didn't get, Vish. So Jim is 1-0 to the good. Now, Jim, I didn't choose these categories. What I'm going to say is you got a chance here, but you muffed this up before.
I regularly muff this up.
Vish, you're going first. Members of Arsenal's invincible squad.
Oh,
he buggied out before, by the way, when it was an Arsenal one. 22 players. Vish, fire away. Oh, and by the way, players have to have played at least one league minute to qualify.
Right.
So, you know, it's you've got, as I say, 22 players to choose from.
Thierry Henry.
Ooh. Good start.
Patrick Vieira.
Patsy.
Gilberto Silva.
Sol Campbell.
Robert Pires.
Ashley Cole.
Lauren.
Come on, Andy.
It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Jeremy Alli-Adier.
Well played. Very well played. Jimmy.
Freddie Ljungberg.
Ooh, Wiltord.
Can I have his first name, please?
Sylvain Wiltord.
Correct. Andy?
Prick.
Pardon? Would you like to apologise?
To stay
in the game, would you like to apologise? Go on, Andy, go on. You love giving Andy extra time, don't you?
Yeah, it's very good of you.
It's Torres!
Eagle stepping off.
No? Andy, you're out. So you're hoping Vish wins this round, so you're still alive. Jim!
Mad Jens Lehmann.
Plenty of gettable ones. Come on.
I'm having a bit of a blank.
That'll help.
Stuart Taylor?
Yeah. Jim Campbell for the win.
I'm going to go with, let's say, Pascal Sagan.
Oh, nice.
Nice way to win.
Jim Campbell wins. Flawless victory.
Nobody went for Dennis Bergkamp.
Fucking hell.
Or Ray Parler. Or Martin Keown, or Nwankwo Kanu, Jose Antonio Reyes, Jesus Edu, God. David Bentley, Gael Clichy. Yeah, tough one, lads. Or Kolo Touré. None of those names.
Well, Clichy have played a minute. I suppose he probably came on as a sub, didn't he?
Indeed, he did.
It would have been appropriate to finish that section as a draw, actually, wouldn't it?
You two losers.
That
Dennis
bad.
Bloody
that is,
Burke.
That is bad, actually, isn't it?
Very bad. Yeah. So bad, we're not even going to do the third round. Jim takes all the plaudits.
Yes. And, I guess Dougie Friedman on the go before.
Yeah, I know.
On the round before.
And you didn't even win that round, did you?
Yeah.
I know. It's all in vain, my man. All
Ian
in
Dowie and Pascal Sagan.
Thanks, lads. Beautiful men to give Jim Campbell the lineal belt. It's changed hands. We're going to play the third round to see if Andy and Vish can get some respectability back into their lives, quite frankly.
This is bullshit. This would never happen in the NBA finals. Why do we have to go through this?
Yeah, I don't need this.
NBA, never been asked, Andy. keep your different sports to yourself, okay? Right, the final round is teams to finish in the top four of the Premier League. 14 teams. Andy, you're up first.
Manchester City.
Jim.
Manchester United.
Arsenal.
Spurs.
Leicester.
Chelsea.
Everton.
Liverpool.
Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah.
Very good. I like it. Aston Villa.
Yeah, why not, Andy?
Newcastle.
Three left.
Ipswich Town.
You lose. Go home. Andy.
That's a bit hard.
I like this harsh marker.
Andy, I've taken a few. I can dish a few out, can't I?
It's knocked me off kilter.
Come on.
It's Torres!
Leeds United.
There it is, everybody. Well done, Jim.
3-0.
Easy peasy.
Was Norwich another one?
Norwich
really
was
on?
Another one. Wow. And the final one, Nottingham Forest.
Oh, wow.
There we are, you see. Jim, well done, sir. How are you going to celebrate your winnings this weekend?
Cartwheels.
Cartwheels.
Just cartwheel all weekend.
To the sound of Groovies in the Harp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would just naturally occur. Yeah.
Is that cartwheels show your love for Robbie Keane?
Not quite.
I think Arsenal are the only club he doesn't support, aren't they?
Oh, dear, Andy. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. The weekend is officially open. The gate is wide, and you can run wild and free for 2.5 days. All right. Do follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Oh, groove is in the heart, isn't it, just Andy?
Always, always.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vatushin Hantaraja.
Sorry for calling you a prick.
There we go.
Can I get a point?
Apology accepted. You can. You lost 3-1. See ya. Have a good weekend. Ha, 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 ha
Don't know why you're laughing, Andy. You didn't get one.
Oh, congratulations on your little milk monitor prize off teacher.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.